It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kaysen. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kaysen.
A good afternoon, Los Angeles. This is Alan Gervie, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. But I have to tell you that it is going to be really, really difficult today to be the managing partner of your life because of who we have on the show. Carrie?
I can't believe you put this group together. It's going to be very interesting.
And we are looking at a higher authority than Alan Gervie today.
How could you let that happen, Alan?
I thought that I was God, but we are talking God. We are talking religion and the law today. And why is that?
Because of what happened in Indiana. Governor Mike Pence signing a law.
No.
Oh, come on.
We were going to talk about it anyway, because what is this weekend?
Oh, Easter, of course.
Easter. And what about if you're Jewish?
It's the Seder, right? Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Okay.
But what are they?
I grew up in Beverly Hills. I know my prayers. Right? Very good. Thank you very much.
Can you say your chuz?
Chuh.
Very nice. But that comes from your Middle Eastern background.
I guess. I knew actually more Farsi growing up, because it's Little Persia in Beverly Hills. So I knew more Farsi growing up than I knew Arabic or
Hebrew.
Yeah. And I did go to Hebrew school with my friends.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah,
trying to find a nice Jewish boy.
That was it. Yeah, at 9 years old.
So we call the holiday, Carrie, Passover.
Yes.
And part of that is having Seders, the first and second Seder. And, of course, the Seders this year fall on Friday and Saturday night.
Okay, right.
Friday night, the Shabbat.
Yes.
And then Easter Sunday. So what we're dealing with is, this is really a powerhouse of a religious show, because we've got both of these holidays intersecting. It's like law and life, the intersection of law and life. That's what Gervie's Law is all about. Well, this weekend, our show, Gervie's Law, is all about the intersection of religion and law. And I have to make a disclaimer right now. Do you know what the disclaimer is?
I do know what the disclaimer is. And you know what? You know why we're live almost every single Saturday.
Almost every single Saturday.
Except today. Yes.
Why is that?
Because we have a rabbi on who...
No.
Because they cannot work.
Well,
yes.
Of course. Rabbi Chaim Sperlin is going to be with us, and he is not working on Saturday.
No.
So don't get upset for
right.
all of you Chabadniks that wonder why Chaim, Rabbi Sperlin, would be working on Saturday. But the real reason is that I'm out of town.
Okay.
I'm not even here.
Once I learned we were taping, I flew the coop too.
You did.
I'm up out as well.
Where are you now, Carrie?
Right now, I am sitting on a beach in Puerto Vallarta.
And I am getting ready for the second Seder in Toronto, Canada, where I am so lucky and privileged to be with my family and bring little Hudson and Harper and my wife Nancy to be with all of my relatives in Toronto, Canada. That's where I am right now.
Okay, I love Toronto. It's one of my most favorite cities, so I don't think that's such a bad place. I know it's not necessarily vacation
time. Not on the beach.
No.
Are you celebrating Easter on the beach?
We usually celebrate Easter with the family, and Palm Sunday, and it's usually a big event for my family. Grew up singing in church choir, and it's funny. It's been a year and a half since I've done anything and gotten away, especially with what I've gone through this last year. So I said, we're taking a break.
Now, you're not telling me everything, because you're going with Jesse.
I am going with Jesse.
And does Jesse celebrate Easter?
Jesse's Jewish, so we're missing the Seder.
Oh, no.
His Yeah.
That's horrible. Rabbi Sperlin is sitting here listening to this.
I know.
And Jesse, come on. What's up with that?
He's not a bad Jew. He was. What's it called when you have not the bat mitzvah, but when you're twins? B'nai mitzvah. Yes, and he knows all of his prayers, and he speaks a little Hebrew. He's a good Jew.
Okay, well, as long as we've made it clear that we never tape these shows, but we are so lucky today that we have the opportunity to actually tape the show, and we are going to have a really, really amazing show. So you guys have to listen all hour, whatever you're doing on this very religious weekend, whether you're Jewish, whether you're Christian, whether you're Muslim, whether you're a Buddhist, whatever it is, you want to hear what we have to say today, because we are bringing all of these religious principles together, and we're going to talk about the law and how it intersects. And, of course, in the news all week has been the Indiana Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and we will be talking about that with our guests. And it's funny because everyone thinks that I'm about to tell a joke. Why am I about to tell a joke?
Because I know why.
Why?
Because there's what happens when there's a rabbi, a priest, and a lawyer all in a room?
Well, it's not going to be a priest. And so we're going to have
It's a pastor.
Pastor.
Yes.
Pastor Griff Ray will be with us, and he's a teaching pastor and production team leader in Kentucky, actually. So he's at Crossroads Christian Church, a non-denominational church in Lexington, Kentucky. He will be with us, and he will be discussing these issues with Rabbi Chaim Sperlin, who is a rabbi right here in Beverly Hills. So he is in studio with us. And then we have a special guest, and we're so fortunate to have her. We have attorney Melissa Lefkowitz of Chester and Lefkowitz, who are defense attorneys for criminal matters, some of the best defense attorneys in the city. You really want to talk to Melissa and Ira Chester. Melissa's going to come on and talk about her experience as a Jewish woman, a very attractive Jewish woman.
Absolutely.
Who is very bright and intelligent, and she grew up religious, and now she defends criminals. Or the accused.
How is that? I guess, you know, that's. I wonder if you have to set aside some religious beliefs to actually
defend. Well, we're
going to
ask her.
Oh, I will.
You don't want to miss it. So I want to tell you a real quick story just about my personal background with this topic. I represented a Chabad rabbi in a workers' compensation case, and here's the interesting case. So what happened was he had finished his sermon and the service for a Friday night Shabbat service, and he was walking home to his home with one of the congregants, and he took the congregant home for dinner. He was hit by a car and sustained some really horrible injuries while they were walking home to have Shabbat dinner after the service. So the question becomes, is his employer responsible under the laws of workers' compensation?
Because he was leaving temple?
Well, that's a good point. See, we have in workers' compensation what's called the going and coming rule. And that means that the employer is not responsible for any work injuries, if they are work injuries, if it's when they're going to work or coming from work.
Okay.
So in other words, if you get in a car accident when you're leaving work, it's not going to be part of workers' comp because you clocked out. But what was attorney Gervey able to do? I was able to prove on the walk home through deposition testimony that the rabbi was actually discussing the sermon with the congregant, and he was talking about getting to a higher level of religiousness as part of service to God. And because they were speaking about that on the way home, that it was part and parcel of his work, and we prevailed.
That is amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Only
so
you could do that.
We are going to take a break, and we will be back with the rabbi, with the pastor, and with the lawyer. And that ain't no joke. You're listening to Gervey's Law right here on 790 Talk Radio, KABC.
What's the secret to financial independence? You need a steady passive income, something more than just wages from a job. At Compound Stock Earnings, we teach you how to earn 3 to 6% cash return per month from your investments. We're so confident in your success that we offer a money-back guarantee on our Fast Start seminar. Want to learn more? Tune in to Unconventional Wisdom, the CSE Investment Show, this Saturday at 8 a.m. right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Or visit CompoundStockEarnings.com.
Psst. Yeah, you. It's me, your heart. Listen to me. We've got to talk. High blood pressure is serious, and yours? Whoa. What happened to us? We used to be so much more active. But lately, you've been ignoring me. I know you think I'm just going to keep ticking away forever, but you're wrong. You can do so much more to control your high blood pressure. Doing the minimum isn't doing enough. I'm under a lot of pressure and can quit whenever I want. Bet you didn't know that. But I like my job. Just treat me better. Check on me. Give me something green to nibble on every once in a while. And maybe we can do some exercise on occasion. Let's get to it. After all, we're in this together.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Should police officers be stripped of their guns? Well, apparently, in New York, there's an anti-cop group called Disarm NYPD. How is this a good idea? When you advocate, you're supposed to advocate for something that makes sense. Don't do it for something that is completely idiotic.
Judge Christina live at 9.
Weekdays 9 to noon on 790 KABC.
And yes, we are back right here at Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a full-service workers' compensation firm. If you have been injured on the job, please feel free to call us at 855-4-RGW-LAW, 855-4-RGW-LAW. So that's my little plug. And Carrie.
Yes.
Carrie Kasem is here. What's your plug today?
My plug? Yeah, you know what? You can always go. My new foundation site is wonderful, so I'm very happy about it. If you want to check it out, it's KasemCares.com. And I'm really proud of it. We spent a lot of time doing it, and we're really proud of it. So there's my plug.
All right, that's her plug, and now we're turning to some substance. This is a really difficult topic because we are going to deal with law and religion and how the two of them creep into each other. We have First Amendment rights, of course. It's the First Amendment, freedom of religion, yet does that give people the right to discriminate based on their religion? We have heard in the news for the past week and more than a week what's going on in Indiana, and that, of course, is the passage of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which was signed by conservative Republican Governor Mike Pence. And ever since that law was put in on the books, and it's supposed to go into effect in July, there has been nothing but a lot of controversy. And basically what the law did, and by the way, as many of you know, is based on a federal law that went on the books in 1993 by President Clinton, and it was a liberal response to discrimination based on religion and race and other things. And now we've got the Republican response in Indiana, the Hoosier state, and I wish Mike Pence would stop talking about Hoosiers and Hoosiers, because I keep thinking that he's just talking about an Indiana basketball team.
That's exactly what I keep hearing.
All he does is talk Hoosiers, but I guess that's what they call themselves. You know, by the way, Carrie, if you had to cast someone in the role of governor, wouldn't it be Mike Pence? I mean, look at that guy. He looks like he should be in a movie and be the governor.
He could possibly be a candidate, too.
He could
in for
2016.
President here. That's right.
So he has done a lot of backpedaling because he's had to. And, of course, the law stated that people, based on their religious beliefs, could deny services to others and that would not be unconstitutional or, in the state of Indiana, illegal.
But he also said, we're going to fix this and we're going to move forward. He says, I believe in my heart of hearts that no one should be harassed or mistreated because of who they are, who they love, or what they believe. So he says that this is, I can understand the religious, look, I love the fact that anybody can practice religion here. And if somebody has, and, you may, Alan, you may actually criticize me for this, but if somebody has a belief system, that's what they believe in their religion, and they own a store, they have the right for me, what I believe in, is if somebody is asking for flowers for a gay wedding and they don't believe in that, they have the right to say no. But they also have the consequences of that action. And if somebody wants to say, hey, this, you know, flower shop or this business didn't serve me because I'm gay, they're going to have consequences. But they have the right to do that, to say
no. So where do you draw the line? I mean, it was interesting what Tim Cook said in the Washington Post opinions on March 29th. He, of course, the chief executive officer of Apple, said, this isn't a political issue. It isn't a religious issue. This is about how we treat each other as human beings. Opposing discrimination takes courage. So, you know, I understand what you're saying, but I want to bring the professionals in because you're just a layperson. I'm just a nobody. We need to bring in the religious experts, and we are so happy to have with us here at Gervie's Law, we have Rabbi Chaim Sperlin, who is a Orthodox rabbi, and he likes to refer to himself as a teacher more than anything else. He leads a grassroots movement in Beverly Hills that has just been rebranded as Elevate, and I love that, Elevate. He can be reached, elevaterabbi@yourrabbi.org. Chaim Sperlin, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. And we have on the line, unfortunately, Pastor Griff Ray couldn't fly in for the big event. And, of course, for those of you who are listening, this is pre-taped. We don't have the rabbi here on Saturday. It is Passover, and we're celebrating Easter and Passover this weekend, so we pre-taped this. He's doing nothing that is not kosher today, except doing what rabbis do on Shabbat and Passover. So we are welcoming now the pastor. He is the people's pastor. He is at Crossroads Christian Church, a non-denominational church in Lexington, Kentucky. Griff Ray, welcome to Gervie's Law. Pastor Ray.
Well, thank you for having me. I wish I could be with you there, but I'm stuck in Kentucky. So
it's 80 degrees here, and I'm sorry that you have to be in Kentucky. So we're talking a little bit about the conundrum that's facing this country when you look at law, First Amendment rights, versus potentially discriminating against those who practice religious beliefs that are not considered to be equal opportunity for everyone. First, I'm going to ask Rabbi Sperlin, what is your position? Of course, you don't speak for all rabbis, but individually, what is your position on this issue?
It's a great question, and this has been a hot topic for a while now, even before this Indiana Act. And something that I've come to is the following, and I think it's really interesting. I want to introduce you to Rabbi Lawyer individual who, believe it or not, there are many of those around. And if he's asked to sign a civil contract, will he?
Will he?
Will he? Will he sign a civil marriage?
That's an excellent question because it also gets into divorce and gets
correct.
In the rabbi, in the Jewish religion, and one not necessarily representing. I would say no.
So what I'd like to suggest is the following, and I think this to be the truth, and that is that he would sign the civil marriage as a lawyer, but not sign the religious marriage as a rabbi.
Right.
Because the difference here is between civil and religious. And the example that you've given before about selling flowers, I would say that that's an exclusively civil thing. And therefore, selling flowers, there should never be any discrimination by rabbi or otherwise. Selling flowers, you sell flowers. Signing a religious document, I can understand.
Okay, so rabbi, what if I were getting married, but I'm already married, and I had a witness who wasn't Jewish? Would you participate in the signing ceremony?
The civil one or the religious one?
That's the question. You give the answer.
The civil one I would if I was a lawyer or a judge. The religious one I would not, because that disqualifies the religious marriage.
And isn't that an example of differentiating between what you're saying, civil law, and religious law.
That is indeed a great example. And civil law should remain civil. Religious should remain religious. Our founding fathers understood the difference. And we can continue doing the best we possibly can as civilians without infringing in any way on the religious.
Pastor Griff, I want to bring you in and welcome to Gervie's Law. I want to ask you, you've heard what Rabbi Sperlin has said. I would like to know whether you would feel that perhaps there's potential for discrimination in the civil arena if you bring in these religious issues and perspectives.
I think it. I appreciate what the rabbi is saying of trying to be true and honest with what he believes versus what he's called to do as an occupation. And so I hadn't thought through it exactly from that realm because I try to kind of mix everything in my life.
Yeah.
So what I believe is who I am and how I live and all those things. And so it's a really messy situation and question. And the word for me, discrimination, is really difficult. That has a really negative connotation. I'm going to discriminate. I'm going to try to withhold something from you. I want to punish you because of something. And I'm not sure just saying, you know what, I don't know that I can or want to be involved in this. I wish you well, but there's a personal issue that I have that I don't want to be doing something that I feel like, from my perspective, may be immoral or wrong. Just like, you know, let's say there's someone that's questionable as far as what they're doing legally, and they're asking me for help as a pastor.
But, Pastor, you are a morally good person. What about the masses? Should religious beliefs and religious organizations merit special protections over and above those given to secular speeches,
yeah,
beliefs, or organizations? And if so, what about the slippery slope of discrimination? And I'm talking about masses, not just you, because I happen to agree full-heartedly with what you just said. But
right,
we have laws in the land.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a difficult one. You know, I think what it comes down to, the question I really have is what's the agenda here? I mean, I think that's the bigger question. Is it really, because it feels like to me what's the statement that's being made is no one's allowed to disagree with what I'm doing. And what I believe, and no one can kind of take a stand on how they personally believe if it interferes with what I want to do and with what I think. So, you know, where is the freedom on the other side of it for a business owner that maybe has some moral convictions and doesn't, his desire is not to punish or discriminate in the sense that I think you're bad or evil or wrong, and I want to make a example out of you or a lot of the other discriminatory things we see in society and have in the past, but they just choose not to be involved and wish them well. And I have a hard time. Where's the freedom on the other side of things?
Now, this is the case that's happening with the man who walked into the flower shop that he'd been using for a decade and then said, I'd love for you to do my flowers, and the woman refused, saying it was not in her religion. But then he went on to sue her, wanted to take her business down, wants to destroy her, and she wrote a letter saying, look, you know, this is my belief. It's not, I don't hate you. I'm not discriminating. It's just, I feel like with what I believe in that it wouldn't be right for me. So please, you know, I know you're trying to, you know, I don't want you to destroy my business, my family and everything because of how I believe. So it's interesting with what the rabbi said. It sounds,
if you care you're being discriminated against, maybe you would think differently.
No, I would think if somebody said to me, I don't believe in what you believe, I respect you as a person, but I don't agree with your religion, I would move on. I wouldn't sue the person.
Okay, we need to take a break. Calm down. We will be back after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Remember books?
I used to love cozying up next to a book, but then the internet came along. Oh, look, a kitty playing the piano.
Fall in love with books all over again at the 20th Annual L.A. Times Festival of Books, April 18th and 19th, at the USC campus. This free two-day event is a celebration of art, food, music, photography, poetry, and, of course, books. With appearances by Pulitzer Prize nominee Joyce Carol Oates, comedian Patton Oswalt, and Billy Idol.
Billy Idol gets it. I don't know why she doesn't get it.
Oh, he
Oh, boy.
Don't miss the largest literary event in America, the 20th Annual L.A. Times Festival of Books, April 18th and 19th. For more information, visit KABC.com, keyword books.
It's a nice day to
read a book.
Ow!
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
Well, before I left my campsite, I was putting out my fire, and out of nowhere, Smokey Bear showed up and hugged me?
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. He likes it when people correctly put out their campfires. He's pretty big on wildfire prevention. He's just letting you know you did good with a hug. He's a hugger.
I just got a bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update!
All right, I'm going to let you go now. I've got a lot of ranger stuff to do. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Did you go to college last year? Did you sign up for an HTML class and find yourself in a room full of cute girls who thought you were funny and you thought they were funny? And now you have a bunch of cute, funny, tragically platonic relationships with females and no knowledge of HTML? No matter what you went through last year, answering questions like, did you go to college last year, is much simpler. Intuit TurboTax. It's amazing what you're capable of.
This spring, the Home Depot has Behr Premium Plus Ultra starting at just $31.98 a gallon. So let's do paint that's perfectly at home with kids and pets. Behr Premium Plus Ultra has an advanced stain and scuff blocking formula, so it stands up to your life, whatever your life includes right now, and keeps its color for years to come. Let's do this. Get Behr Premium Plus Ultra starting at just $31.98 a gallon. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only.
On the next Midday Live with Dr. Drew and Mike Castlewood, we're going to finish our brackets on Monday?
Sure, I can save the brackets till Monday, and we'll get those finished up.
All right.
The worst celebrity side project will be decided.
That will be on the next Midday Live with Dr. Drew and Mike Castlewood. Noon to 3 on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, indeed. You are listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I still am in Toronto, but I'm still Alan Gervie. And Carrie Kasem is here with me, but she's actually in Puerto Vallarta.
That's right, Alan.
For those of you who have not been listening, we are doing a special show on religion and the law. And because of Passover and Easter, we are both taping this show so we can be with our respective loved ones on this holiday weekend. We hope that you all are having a great weekend and are reflecting just a little bit about these tough issues where religion intercedes with law. We have with us Rabbi Chaim Sperlin, who is a rabbi in Beverly Hills. He is all about being a teacher, and his favorite tagline is ancient wisdom refreshed. He's Canadian, just like I am, from Ottawa and Montreal, so that makes him one of the good guys. And also a good guy on the phone with us is Pastor Griff Ray from the Crossroads Christian Church, a non-denominational church in Lexington, Kentucky. And now we have just been joined by Super Attorney Melissa Lefkowitz, who is of the law offices of Chester and Lefkowitz, and they are experts in defending people accused of crimes. They are located in Los Angeles on Pico, and Melissa will have you jump in shortly, but I think Rabbi Sperlin wants to respond to what Pastor Griff said before the break.
I was just, I'm humbled by your position on this, and it's really beautiful. I want to say something, though, and jump in here, and that is that if you have a jeweler that's selling jewelry, And they have all different types of jewelry. They have Stars of David, and they also sell crosses. Would you say that a Jewish jeweler should not sell a cross because that's against his religion? Now, I'd say that they're entitled to sell the cross, and this is actually Jewish law. They can sell a cross because believing in what you believe doesn't mean that you have to impose that on others. So long, the other person is going to get it anyway. There's no reason to feel that we have to impose our beliefs on others if the other person is going to get it.
Rabbi Sperling, I just want to add something, because I always look at things from the legal perspective. I always look at damages. I always look at consequences. And I really, I appreciate your example. But selling a cross to someone or selling a Jewish star to someone does not necessarily hurt others. Let's look at a little more difficult example. Should parents have the right to refuse vaccinations for children or be exempt from child medical neglect laws based on their religious beliefs?
That's, again, a great question. You're hitting on all the hottest topics in the news. The issue with this is like this. In Judaism, we believe that the body is given to us as a gift from God, and we have to look after our body. When I walked in here to the studio, somebody told me, you're kind of skinny for a rabbi, which is unfortunately a misrepresentation of rabbis, because we're supposed to be healthy. So, yes, I am skinny, and I try to be healthy.
But you have a huge heart.
Thank you.
And he's super young. When you said rabbi, I thought, okay, we're going to get in, you know, an older gentleman. But, no, you're very young.
All right. Thank
you.
Keep going. I want to hear what the end of this is.
So the end of this is that when there's anything that might affect or defect other people in terms of health, we take a very, very strict road to see that we should be healthy and others should be healthy, so much so that if you're familiar with something that was hotter a couple of years ago with oophorectomies and other such surgeries where people were removing ovaries, women were removing ovaries because in Ashkenazic Jews there was a study that found that there's an 80% chance genetically that some women would come to have cancer, and because of that they actually removed their ovaries, removing this this threat, which many rabbis encouraged.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar with that because I know someone who actually did have her ovaries removed because of that. And I just want to bring Pastor Griffin here very quickly so you can respond to that, because that makes a lot of sense from a moral perspective, but does it make a sense from a religious perspective?
Does what make sense from a religious perspective?
Does the fact that you have exceptions to rules so that it doesn't hurt the body, for instance, versus just talking about a cross or a Jewish star or whatever, which, you know, if someone sells a cross and he's Jewish, or if someone sells a Jewish star and he's Christian, what are the consequences? No consequences. But let's talk about where religious beliefs, when we talk about blood transfusions and those sort of things,
right.
Should we deprive people? Should the law bow down to religious beliefs?
Yeah, and, you know, those kind of examples are very difficult, especially when children, you know, if someone's an adult and they don't want medical treatment and they have cancer or whatever and they choose not to get that, then that's a choice they have. It's really difficult when they're children that don't have a say in it and their parents are imposing these things on them and their life is threatened. That's really difficult. I'm glad I'm not a judge or a lawyer.
Yeah, you know,
but it's really hard because at that point you've got an innocent who's being affected by someone else's, their parents' religious belief. But you know, there's nothing in Scripture that says that we should have faith. We should believe that God can heal and does heal. But there's nothing that says that we shouldn't take care of ourselves and we shouldn't use whatever means we have necessary to care for our bodies medically, technology, and all those kinds of things. So I think there's a real moral dilemma there when someone is saying, oh, because of faith, I'm not letting my child be treated. Well, but what about the morality of loving and caring for your child and doing the best?
Right, that makes a lot of sense. And not only about morality, we're going to just segue into a difficult question regarding inmates in prison, and then we're going to bring Melissa in. She is a criminal defense attorney, and I just want to throw this question out there because it does segue nicely from what both Rabbi Sperling and Pastor Griff are talking about. should a prison staff member be required to prepare vegetarian meals for a Buddhist inmate? Rabbi?
Certainly.
Certainly.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That comes from Carrie Case in here. Absolutely. I mean, vegetarianism, it's not only a religion, it's a way of life.
But when you commit a crime, do you give up certain rights that you may have on the outside? And I'm going to ask Melissa that because she deals with people accused of crimes all the time.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Fabulous.
Great to have you.
The answer is absolutely cater to their belief in God. This is something that's innate in them. This is something that goes all deep, all the way. We can't take that away from them. Just because their freedom has been taken away, we don't say take away their religious freedom.
So when you are protecting the rights of people accused of laws or defending criminals, do you ever discuss with them that they may not have the rights that they had before?
Sure, we talk about rights, but we certainly discuss accommodations for their food. If there's a Jewish inmate, then he gets kosher food if that's what he needs. The same thing goes with a Buddhist monk.
A Buddhist monk. Have you defended a Buddhist monk?
I have not.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your background, Melissa. So you grew up as a religious person?
Yes.
In the Jewish faith?
Yes, I did. I grew up in a very, very Jewish home, and I was raised by super Jews, which means I was raised by the entire Jewish community. I was raised by my aunts, my mother, my father, my uncle, and, of course, every rabbi in town. So
besides me, that is.
Yeah.
He's too young.
Except him. I just met him.
Yeah.
Each instilled their own values in me, and while, of course, there were always topics of contention, each taught me to see that every human being is a whole human being, and that rather than defining a human being by a moment, a thing that they did, a mistake that they made, the wrong decision. Rather than doing all of that, I've learned through religion, through my teachings, through my family, that good people sometimes do bad things.
What if you find an evil person? Now, I'm just saying, not somebody who made one mistake, or maybe two, but consistently makes horrible mistakes, hurts others, and is just a very bad person. What happens then?
I think that I'm here to be on the side of my client, and I'm here to be on their side no matter what, and that my level of representation can't change because of the mistakes that we've made. I think that there truly is good in every single person, and that my job is sometimes to help show them that.
You haven't met my stepmother.
But my job is actually to look for good. I'm on the search for good. I'm on this quest for good facts, good qualities about my client, and I'm here to discover all of that and what my client has to offer. And then what we do is together we go on this journey, and then sometimes I get lucky enough to watch them grow and watch some change take place.
Can I send you a couple people?
I know, right?
Please.
I mean, it's a very altruistic way of looking at things, but there I believe in good and evil. I do. And I believe there are evil people here. So I'm just wondering, as a person, as not just a lawyer, but are there some times when somebody comes to you and you look at everything they've done and you just say, you know what, at this point I can't.
Everything they've been accused of.
Right, accused of.
No, because religiously I was raised to believe otherwise. Okay. Religiously I was raised to see the gray. I don't see the black and white. So a guy comes into me and he's professing his guilt and he's so guilty, okay? And they come to me and they're at the absolute bottom of their life. I've had a client actually say to me, Melissa, when you have cancer, everybody calls you. Everybody comes visits the hospital. You get charged with a crime, and it's like you don't exist. Nobody calls. Nobody visits. You are my only friend. Truly.
Wow. Pastor Griff, I want to ask you, what Melissa's saying sounds really sounds important. If everyone thought that way, this would be a much better world. But have you experienced in your Christian community people who may not be thinking the way that Melissa is, especially if they've been subject to a criminal, for instance, mutilating their child?
Yeah, I think it's really hard as humans to think and to embrace the way that God thinks and acts, because you just used a great illustration for us as Christians. You know, we believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He was mutilated. He was falsely accused. And in the midst of that, his words were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Right.
And so, man, that is extraordinarily difficult for a human to get to that place, to think the way that God thinks and to operate from that mindset. And so I believe it's possible, and I've seen it. I know people whose children have been killed or murdered, and they have found forgiveness in their heart. And it is amazing when we think on a higher level, other than just what do I want and me first, which is what our culture teaches, and instead we think about how do I bring glory to God, how do I think and operate in a realm of understanding that's not just earthly, but's heavenly. It's amazing to see the difference in the outcome, the freedom that comes when someone's able to think outside of themselves and think about the good of others.
Right.
And as we talk about law, even the Jewish law and all of that, you know, Jesus is pretty famous for saying, you know, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, love your neighbor as yourself. That is the culmination.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But, Rabbi, I have to ask you this, and I hate to go here, but what Pastor Griff is saying, that doesn't really reflect on what's going on in the Middle East or what has been going on for many months, many years. How do you reconcile the Jewish beliefs with, treat others like you would treat yourself?
Unfortunately, it's been a conflict going on almost a generation, maybe even more, depending on how you categorize that. But firstly, I'd like to say and reach out to our greatest friends and allies today, which is the Christian world, that we've both been through tremendous amount of suffering and pain, and today the Christian world and the Jewish world has united like no one else has. The greatest supporters of Israel are Christians, sometimes even more than Jews. And regarding the conflict in the Middle East, there are evil people out there that are out to get us. And we have a ethical, moral, and biblical responsibility to protect ourselves, our children, and our land. And sometimes, unfortunately, because of the threat, it comes at the expense of taking other people's lives.
Okay, we have to take a quick break, and we'll be back. Okay, when we come back, Pastor Griff will comment on it. You're listening to Gerby's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Dad, how safe is your home? One out of three older California homes needs new smoke alarms. Be a weekend warrior by replacing your outdated alarms with a Kidde worry-free line. Each contains a sealed-in battery proven to last a decade. No more low battery chirps or battery replacement saves you time and money. Up to $40 in battery costs over the life of each alarm. Plus, worry-free alarms comply with California's new smoke alarm requirements. Don't wait. Buy Kidde worry-free alarms today at the Home Depot.
Should police officers be stripped of their guns? Well, apparently, in New York, there's an anti-cops group called Disarm NYPD. How is this a good idea? When you advocate, you're supposed to advocate for something that makes sense. Don't do it for something that is completely idiotic.
Judge Christina Live at 9.
Weekdays 9 to noon on 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law. I am Alan Gervie. I'm here with Carrie Kasem, and we are having a very, very intellectual and religious discussion about law and religion on this very holy weekend of Passover and Easter. And we have with us Rabbi Chaim Sperlin, who's a rabbi in Beverly Hills, very well-spoken, as well as Pastor Griff in Kentucky, Crossroads Christian Church in Kentucky. Sounds like the two of them have a lot in common. And, of course, we have Melissa Lefkowitz, who is a criminal attorney, grew up in a religious household in L.A., and she is now a defense attorney who defends criminals at Chester and Lefkowitz, which are attorneys on Pico in Los Angeles. Pastor Griff, you were going to comment on what I had said and what Rabbi Sperlin had said.
Yeah, I think I agree with what he says as far as the responsibility we have to protect ourselves, our nation, that kind of thing. The interesting thing is in Scripture it would seem that There is a responsibility given to the government, and there are certain things that government can do and has the right to do as a sovereign, nation that God's given the rights to. But that as people, we operate by a different set of rules. If I'm a soldier, I can take someone's life in defense of my country. As an individual, I can't just go out and shoot someone because I think it's right or just or whatever. And so I think there is a separation there of what my personal responsibilities or privileges or rights are as versus a government, and God's put government in place to bring order and for the good of the people.
You know, Pastor, that makes a lot of sense. But I want to ask the rabbi here if we can differentiate between American law and Jewish law, because I think that's what you're really getting at. You know, we talk about Sharia law, and last week on our program we had Phil Bosch, who is an attorney who was involved in a case with Sharia law, and we had Ann Bremner for Amanda Knox counsel on, and we talked about the differences and what judges face when they are looking at someone who is using Sharia law as a defense versus American law. What does the rabbi think specifically with Jewish law?
A interesting general difference between American law and Jewish law is as follows. American law created what we call freedom from, that there could be nobody that will take away our rights, and we have to be free from other people that try taking away any rights that we have. Then there's something else which the founding fathers left for every individual to choose, and that's the freedom to. Now that we are free, what do we do with that freedom? So one person will choose to become a Christian, another one a Jew, another one a Muslim, and so forth. So the freedom to is a personal choice that the founding fathers left untouched for us to choose.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense. Melissa, when you have your practice and you are protecting those accused, because everyone does deserve a right to an attorney, do you ever think of it in those terms, what the rabbi is talking about, and do you ever explain it to your clients in terms of maybe doing a plea deal?
You know, it's a great way to put it, freedom from and freedom to. I really like it. I think that a lot of states make a lot of religious-based criminal law exceptions to the criminal laws. I think that, for example, we're dealing with Oregon law, which allows for a defense based on their religious beliefs when it comes to the prosecution of taking peyote. Yeah. Then we have Illinois, for example, that makes an exception to the prohibition that minors can't drink underage, but they can when they're in church and when they're dealing with religious issues.
You know, Melissa, interestingly enough, there's a case in 2010 in New Jersey that talked about a wife who was very upset because her husband was forcing sex on her, and she didn't want it. And the defense was, under Sharia law, a husband shall be permitted to have sex with his wife, notwithstanding that this wife felt that this was inappropriate, and it was a direct hit on the rights of women in America.
Absolutely, and I can see that being a direct hit, and I feel directly hit just hearing the story right now.
Would you defend that man?
You know, the beauty of being a private lawyer is that we have the right to choose. And, you know, the wonderful attorneys out there who are public defenders who have given their lives to live in the trenches and to take every case that comes by them, they don't have a choice. And those kinds of questions are probably more befitting of them. Private attorneys like me, we get to choose. We get to really stare into the face of our clients. And my clients are mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, aunts and uncles. And they're very real people with very real mistakes that they've made. And it's just not these stories. But the answer to the question is, obviously, is that we are constitutional warriors at the same time. And if there's issues in drawing up the arrest, or if there's issues that the government made, you know, a mistake of some kind, then yes, these things are defensible, but the story in and of itself, as you tell it, and as horrific as it sounds, obviously shocks the conscience of probably all of your listeners.
So there is a moral element in this, perhaps a religious element. When we talk about marriage, for instance, gay marriage, there is a moral element and a religious element. Rabbi, would you marry gay people?
Not religiously, no. But
Pastor?
If I was a lawyer, I would do it civilly.
Pastor, would you?
I would love them personally as best I could, but no, I couldn't do that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the honesty, and I think that, you know, Melissa said it best. There are choices that are to be made. That's probably what makes us all special as human beings, something called intellectual curiosity, which allows us to make choices amongst what we believe is right and wrong. But the problem is when it goes into the law, isn't that going to be potentially discrimination and a potential equal protection problem?
But this is why Rabbi Sperlin, to me, makes so much sense. And I respect everybody's religion. And if you don't want to perform a gay marriage, that is your right. You know, and you may take flack from it, and then, you know, that's their right for people to be upset. But you make sense, Rabbi, with the civil and the religious law, different laws. So as a lawyer, it is your duty to do a civil ceremony. But as a religious man, it is also your duty to be religious and to keep with that, with those rules.
You know,
and
Carrie,
that makes sense.
It makes sense, but it also causes some real practical problems and political problems. What Indiana is going through now,
right,
with a number of companies saying they're not going to do business with the Hoosier State. I think it was Pat Hayden from USC that said, gee, he's not going to go to a meeting
in Indiana. Right. They have the right to do that, though. But they have the right because we live in the greatest country in the world. They have the right to pass that law. But, yes, they're going to have consequences. That's why I love this country. We can practice anything we want, but there will be consequences if the majority doesn't like it.
And I'm going to agree with Carrie. I'm sorry, did I cut off the pastor?
No, go ahead, and then we'll get pastor next.
Carrie, I have to agree with you. I think we live in the greatest country in the world. I think that listening just now to the rabbi and to the pastor even speaking about this issue shows how evolved we are. I mean, we are on another level. You go to a country that, you know, let's not name them, but you can go to other countries and you don't have these rights. You are guilty until proven innocent. You don't have these open-minded conversations where people understand.
Very true.
Okay, we need the last word from each of you, Pastor Griff.
Yeah, I just think that what's coming is right now it's legal, and then I really believe as the agenda continues and people aren't allowed to disagree, as is happening in Europe, pastors are being sued because they won't perform marriages that are against their belief, and I just feel like we're on that slope and eventually we're going to get there.
Rabbi?
I agree with the pastor 100% about this agenda. And I know that this agenda is on its way, and that's why I think that instead of condemning these laws that infringe on religion, we have to create a different and a new separation, that the same law that says that you're allowed to turn someone down, that same law says that you cannot sue a rabbi for turning down a wedding.
Melissa, is your favorite movie The Usual Suspects?
It is indeed.
And I want to thank Ken Kokin for bringing this discussion together. Ken Kokin, the best friend of this show, brought all these people together, and it's been an amazing, incredible discussion that I'd like to reconvene at another time. Yes, Carrie.
And once again, Ken doesn't get to ask his stupid question.
No, he doesn't get to ask. Next week, we'll get him asking the stupid question. Although we're preempted by the Kings next week. I will still be in Toronto. Thank you, Melissa Lefkowitz of Lester and Lefkowitz. Chester Lefkowitz, I'm sorry, I'm running out of time. Rabbi Sperlin, he's in Beverly Hills, and Pastor Griff in Kentucky. Thanks for listening to Gervie's Law.
Thank you, guys.